friends, welcome back to Not Again, the podcast that brings college-level analysis to preschool-level content. I'm one of your hosts, Rebecca.
I'm your other host, Alan.
And your third unofficial host is Ari, who's here with us. Yeah. I think by now people are getting used to the baby being in the background. And today, the three of us will be talking about Super Wings. Or one of us will be gurgling about it, but guess which one of us will do the gurgling. It's play at home. But before we get into that, I wanted to share a little bit about an experience that I had on Twitter as I was exploring the space. I'm not really a big Twitter person. I stay off most social media. I kind of got into Facebook as the social media trend like began, and so even though it's kind of evil now, I'm still on Facebook. You're not, but I am. But Twitter was new to me, but for this podcast, I thought it'd be good to familiarize myself. And in my estimation, and maybe a lot of other people's, Twitter's kind of like a cesspool of just like negativity. A lot of people trolling, a lot of people asserting their opinions as if they are gospel or absolute fact. And so I was a little nervous about it, but when I was exploring around in the, you know, in the autism hashtag, I was delighted and surprised to find that the community there was just super welcoming and very informative. And I actually connected with a woman in the UK who is doing a higher degree, I believe a master's degree study. I apologize if it was PhD. I think it was master's in psychology. And she is specifically studying or doing a study on how food affects behaviors and mannerisms in those with autism spectrum disorder diagnoses. And so I reached out to her and I said she was looking for people to interview, and and we got together on Skype, and it was just such an interesting experience to think about. You know, I didn't even know there were neurons anywhere other than our brains, and she was talking about neurons in the gut, and I was like, so when people think with their stomachs, you know,
it's real. Yeah, I guess
that's me for sure. And so, you know, I learned some interesting things. She said she has a friend who noticed that aspartame affects the behavior in her kids. And I thought that was interesting to talk about. So, yeah, I just, you know, there was a couple of, you know, the two countries separated by common language.
Yeah.
Have you heard that before? And so like, I'm pretty sure I said cookies instead of biscuits. And when I brought up Eggo waffles, she said she had to look it up ahead of time.
Just didn't know what that
didn't
was.
Didn't know what Eggo was. Yeah, I actually asked, we have a friend Martin who, they also have a podcast. It's called The Haven, and it's an actual play, D&D Dungeons and Dragons podcast. And that's super fun. And, I was asking them cause they're Scottish. And I was like, why are we so fascinated with British accents? And like, British people never seem to be too particularly interested in American accents. Like, when I went to London, not one person was like, hey, you're American. And I thought, I attributed that to the fact that, like, London is a huge tourist. This was back in the before times I went to London. And they said that it's more that, like, American media, film and TV shows are more, like, widely accessible all over the world. And so like a lot of British children do grow up watching American film and TV. And so they are more exposed to the American accent than we are to the British accents.
That makes sense.
Or Australian accent, you know, any accent really. And so I thought that was interesting. But if you're into accents, The Haven has a wonderful variety of accents from kind of all over. And I just love listening to it. Like I am very fascinated with other languages, cultures, accents, all of it. I love listening to it. So I know that that was something that you already knew about, but I wanted to tell our listeners.
Now I'm thinking about British children watching Super Wings.
Yeah, I should pull that up actually, because we're going to start talking about. So I Googled, because for the first time in my life since we started doing this podcast, I Googled ahead of time the show we were going to be talking about, because I was so curious about where it actually originated. You know, who created it and whatever. And the Wikipedia, the first sentence in the Wikipedia article is just so fun to me. It says, Super Wings is a South Korean Chinese American animated television series. And I'm like, okay, so that's a collaboration.
Yeah,
right,
it spans the world.
It is co-produced by Funny Flux Entertainment in South Korea, Alpha Group Co. Limited in China, and Little Airplane Productions in the United States, with the production support from the Educational Broadcasting System in South Korea. Okay. So educational.
Yes. It does at least claim to be some kind of educational programming.
In South Korea, it does. Not that I think that it changes much depending on where you're watching it. But we were going to talk about this. So you came up with a term, I don't know if you didn't, I don't think you made it up, but you at least introduced me to this term a while back called education washing.
Well, I stole it from something called greenwashing, where a product will say that it's like good for the environment.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, oh, it'd be used, you know, 10% recycled cardboard or something, or they'll say it's recyclable and then make it sound like it's recycled. And like, and so it's just like, well, you're just trying to get that extra, you know, customer that would be interested in that sort of thing. So, like, this is kind of washed over
with the
idea that it's educational when it's just a cartoon.
So, yeah, well, that's kind of, we should just jump into it. But, like, there I am saying jump into it again. We can just kind of start getting into it. And this is good. This is a good jumping off point. But, like, I want to kind of prep you and the audience to say, like, I have a feeling that next episode is going to be more about like Super Wings episodes we've seen. But for right now, I think there's so much to talk about like regarding the premise of this show that we're probably going to talk for our full 30 minutes about that. But hey, we should be able to go back to our old format of 30 minute shows. Isn't that nice? After Finding Nemo provided 240 something minute shows. and so I have notes. I do. I'm showing them to you right now. Look at this long list of bullet points, right?
Yep.
But I think that we can just kind of like talk about the stuff that we've been talking about. In no particular order, I will attempt without too much editorializing to provide the premise for this show, but I have a feeling we're going to editorialize. So I don't actually think we're going to need my notes because we have a lot, but I'll look over them at the end to see if we miss anything. So Super Wings is based on the premise that somewhere in the middle of the ocean is a tiny island on which there is an airport that they call World Airport, right?
Yes, World Airport.
Okay. And on this island lives a single man named Jimbo, who wears, I think, a baseball cap or something. He wears a uniform.
He wears a uniform. He's kind of like an air traffic controller.
Right. Okay. And then along with Jimbo are a number of sentient airplanes and one sentient helicopter. Most of these airplanes and jet planes, I suppose I should say. Actually, I don't know if any of them are traditional airplanes. Nope, there is. There's Old Pappy. What's his name? Grand Albert.
Grand Albert, which sounds wrong.
It's Grandpa plus Albert.
Grand Albert.
Who is an airplane.
Who is a propeller plane, but everybody else is some sort of jet or rocket.
See, we're already going to fly off. Oh, dear. See, I'm always the one who accidentally puns, but we're already flying off tangent because he's got a propeller, but he still flies at the speed of light like all these other jets.
Well, yeah, they all just arrive anywhere in the world instantly.
Yeah.
Even though one's like a propeller plane.
Yes.
You know.
One's a helicopter.
One's a helicopter. Yeah. And one's called Jet, but I don't think he actually has jet engines. He has rockets.
Yeah.
And
His name is Jet. Not very imaginative.
No, not.
Played by an actual child in at least the American version. I glimpsed that in the Wikipedia article. And that child does a great job. This is one positive thing I can say. If you got a real child doing the voice acting, he does a pretty darn good job. It's hard to get good child of voice acting, as Titty Poe has taught us. Mm-hmm. I think that's an adult doing. So all these sentient airplane robots, which I wrote in my notes. I know I said I was going to reference them, but robots or androids.
Yeah, they transform. They're kind of like transformers.
In the stupidest way, though.
Yeah, they don't like,
No, it's okay. I was just going to say because, in the stupidest way, because if you imagine a little airplane, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll probably put this in our Facebook cover photo or post it or something on Facebook and Twitter. But if you imagine an airplane and then imagined gluing arms to the sides of that airplane and legs to the bottom, that's their transformation. It's not like when you think of Transformers, the quintessential, right? Those are trucks and cars and vehicles that fully change their shape until they look humanoid.
Yeah.
That is not what happens here when Jet yells transform. He yells transform, and then arms and legs sprout out of his airplane. He's still just an airplane.
He's still just an airplane.
Walking around.
Yeah. So and it's like he put his landing gear down or something and just yelled transform.
And you said something about like how it was a completely unnecessary transformation because they're a delivery service, which is part of the premise I haven't gotten into yet.
Yeah. Why transform at all? Like there's no reason for them to transform. Their job is to deliver packages. That's it. There's no reason to be,
Have arms and legs.
To be a transformer.
So you're saying they could just, land as a plane, because they're tiny. They're not human size, but they're, not plane size, except for the one that is an airplane. They have that huge one.
I don't even know the name. Jumbo jet one.
Yeah, but, for the most part, they are slightly
bigger than just adult humans.
Right, and so they could just land, drop off the package out of their back compartment,
and leave.
Oh, and I say they, but so let's go back into the premise, because I'm wrong, okay? So we have all these androids, because we do see them eat in several episodes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call them androids. And I'm going to estimate that it cost, $10 billion to develop this technology, because they're also sentient. So we've moved beyond artificial intelligence. They're just intelligent. And they eat. So presumably they digest.
I guess. I don't know.
And their job, okay, only one of them has a job. That's Jet. And that is to deliver packages all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
One package at a time. So it's not like Jimbo loads them up with 100 packages. He delivers one. And what would you estimate the average cost of these packages?
Oh, it's always a pair of shoes or a paper puppet or something like that. So a couple dollars.
Yeah, I would say in the episode with Mongolia, I want to say. I believe it's when he goes to Mongolia.
Oh, yeah.
He delivers those sticky stars,
glow-in-the-dark
ones.
Plastic stars.
Yes, and those cost about a dollar.
Yeah, dollar store sort of thing.
I think the cheapest thing he ever delivers is the origami paper to Japan. And if you're thinking that sounds too stereotyped, guess what?
That's the show.
So let's say he delivers things, and then the most expensive I've seen is the sled he delivered to the kid in Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
So let's say anywhere from $1.50 to $50.
Yeah.
Okay. So this $1 billion sentient airplane that can transform and grow arms and legs and walk around and eat cheese and cake.
From the world airport in the Pacific Ocean and flying all over the world to deliver these packages.
Yeah.
Delivering basically
It would be like if your UPS driver drove a truck that cost $10 billion. It's not necessary. And the packages on top of that are not top secret. They are not expensive. They are ordered by children. And as we have said, are just toys and shoes. And they could be delivered just normal ways. So that's Jet's job. I told you we're 15 minutes in and we're still trying to get into the Jet's job. That's Jet's job. His job is to deliver one package, I assume a day, because as he flies, as we'll get into, he spends the day with these kids, right?
Well, yeah, so what happens is he delivers the package and then very often, just without even asking, walks into the kid's house and just starts
living there.
Living there. What'd you get? Your UPS driver doesn't do that to you.
Yeah,
they don't
hilarious.
Just walk in your house hey, got any cheese? What's in the package?
I mean, if it talked like that, I'd invite them in.
Yeah.
But we'll get back to that for sure.
Yeah.
So he spends the day with these kids, and so we could imagine that he only can deliver one package a day. Again, $10 billion worth of technology here. Now we can get back into this, because the other airplane type thing. So we have one named Dizzy, which is a pink helicopter that acts, let's say, like a stereotypical girl.
Dizzy, yeah.
Balanced by Mira, who is, by the way, I should say, we are talking about season one. Season two goes bonkers off the wall. I feel like we'll talk more about season two next episode.
Maybe, yeah.
Because season two introduces another female. And again, it's so weird to assign gender
airplanes.
It's weird enough to assign gender to humans. They should be able to kind of figure out their own lives and their own identities. And so to assign it to somebody else is a little bit weird to me.
Yeah.
But to assign it to sentient airplane androids, to say you are a male sentient airplane android
and you're pink, so you're the girl.
Exactly. Dizzy's pink, so she's a girl. And so, but yeah, so they are, there's equal representation of the sexes, whatever that means in this context. Okay. There's a police airplane one. There's one whose entire job, this is Jerome's entire job is to dance,
which comes in handy way more often than it should.
Yes. They have to shoehorn in reasons for him to be needed.
Yeah.
But what happens is, because Jet, either invited or uninvited, mm-hmm. decides to spend the day with the children he's delivering to. So the way it's supposed to go is, here's your package, sign for it, okay, bye. The way it actually goes is, here's your package, I'm coming into your house now to watch you open it and then to talk to you about it. Our son just burped loudly. You know, he spends the day with them and he, like, learns, he's supposed to learn about their country and their culture.
And something inevitably goes wrong.
Usually his fault.
Usually his fault. And so the other airplanes have to come in to fix whatever problem he created.
Yes. So he can't just be like, here are the stars to stick on your ceiling so they'll glow in the dark at night. He has to be like, oh no, I've also caused all of your sheep to stampede. And oh no, the stars are stuck in their wool and we have to get them back. And yes, that's absolutely accurate to the episode. And so what'll happen is Jimbo, well, actually, no, excuse me. Let's role play a little bit here.
Okay.
I'm Jet, and I think you're going to know exactly what to say. You are the child who is in distress. Okay. And I'm going to say, oh no, this looks like a job for the Super Wings.
The Super Wings?
Yeah. And then he says, my awesome airplane friends who come to help whenever I need it. And he explains that every time. As if the child or adult looking right at him can't figure out that he's probably something known as a super wing. What else in this world would be a super wing?
This is a job for the super wings. Like, I just wouldn't, like, ask. I would just piece it together like, he's going to get some help.
And let's go even further back. They somehow ordered this package. Are you telling me they didn't choose the delivery service? I mean, that happens on when you order from Amazon. They're like, how do you want this delivered? Air, ground, UPS, USPS?
Super robot.
Super robot. So I assume they clicked the super robot option.
Which must cost so much more money.
I know, right? It's like, okay, so your package will cost $2.72 or €2 or whatever, you know, or $2 Australian. And your delivery will be $10 million. Is that okay?
And really inconvenient and a little intrusive.
And they might mess up your house with melted cheese.
They might just start living in your house.
If that's okay. They might spook your horse.
You could just do Amazon 2-day or you could do the other thing.
So you can do Amazon 2-day or you can do Super Wings instant delivery, but also with invasiveness. Like, they will come into your house. Jet will be there and he has the mind of a child. We don't know why we gave this sentient robot the mind of a child. It seems kind of counterintuitive, but he does have the mind of a child.
Yeah.
He's a very innocent and lovable child, but he will interpose himself into your life for at least a day. So just click here to spend $10 million for that. Okay, great. Your package will be here in 5 minutes because he is a super wing. But you'll still ask what a super wing is when he says he needs help. So the other super wing's jobs, not to deliver packages, but literally to sit around at World Airport until Jet needs help. And then one or two of them get assigned to go help him out of this fix.
Jimbo decides which one will be the best one to help, one or more.
Also, you had a little theory about Jimbo. R.E., what he's even doing on that island and, like, what he's doing. Why
I don't
he's
know.
There.
He kind of seems like a Bond villain to me. Like, he's in his, like, world airport outside of international law with his robot army, and he's just, like, messing with people.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Because who built World Airport? Who owns it? Like, first of all, if there were sentient airplanes that could basically go at the speed of light, you know they'd be co-opted for military tactics immediately.
Yeah.
They would be only used
They would
for
be
war.
Designed for that
they would
in
be designed
the first
for
place.
It. Jet would be like, here's your package. It's an atom bomb.
Yeah.
Like, and so, like, I just, like,
that was a pretty good impression.
Thank you.
I
do Titty Po better, I feel like. I do Titty Po better, not Tayo. I get the train and the bus confused. Mm-hmm. The sentient cars all meld together in my mind.
Sentient vehicles just.
Oh, sentient vehicles, right, because one's a train and one's a bus. Oh, goodness, we have a burpy baby.
Yeah.
We'll see if I can edit these out.
We'll do our best.
So I got off track. So Jerome is called in when Jet needs to help someone dance. Dizzy is called in for rescue operations. She has, like, suction cups that she shoots at,
like,
things.
Yeah, like hooks and...
My favorite is the episode where he goes to the Virgin Islands to help a sentient pirate ship escape from a cave where he's been trapped for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And they're floating on balloons that Dizzy has attached to the boat, and then seagulls start popping the balloons, and they go, oh no, we're too heavy. What can we do to lighten the load? And they make the noble choice to dump this huge golden treasure chest off the boat instead of, you know, the two flying giant robots just taking off.
Or pushing from the bottom.
And pushing from the bottom. Taking off and pushing from the bottom. They're like, guess we have to dump the treasure. We have no choice.
Yeah.
And then the lesson is like, don't worry, we had an adventure anyway. The real treasure was the adventure.
Yeah. Not to mention that that sentient pirate ship that's been trapped there for hundreds of years would just have gone insane.
Definitely. Just from the isolation alone. And why is it sentient? Like, there's no technology in a pirate ship, you know, like,
you couldn't figure out like what makes a vehicle sentient, because I think in a different episode they had like swimming pigs, and they just had a boat,
and the boat was not
sentient. The boat was just a boat.
Yeah, that swimming pig island is real. I can't believe it. So it learned me something good. So Dizzy rescues Mira is underwater. And I know that next episode you'll want to talk about the Viking episode, so put a pin in that. There's a great Viking episode. Rodney. No, what's his name? What's the name of the one that fixes things and invents things?
Donnie.
Yeah. Thank you. Donnie fixes and invents things, and then the cop.
Yeah. Who knows?
Cares. Who knows or cares? There's a cop one.
Yeah.
He directs traffic while rapping or something, whatever the kids are into these days. And so they get assigned to go help Jed. Okay. So that's the premise of the show in 20 minutes or less. And it is absolutely bonkers. This is the show that I just yell at the screen a lot. So before we get into the education washing, because that's the next part, it's like getting into the specifics of like when Jet gets a quote mission, it's just a delivery. I want to talk about the intro music, which I have only heard a couple times because thankfully Netflix has that skip intro button. But the intro music has like this like cheesy pseudo rock and roll anthem. Mm. And if you listen to the lyrics, it's like, Jet, you're gonna go deliver that package to a kid who needs it. And it's like, if your UPS driver arrived to like a rock ballad about how awesome it was that they were gonna deliver your package. It's like, yeah, that's how delivery services work, rock anthem. Like, why are you making this sound like it's an epic adventure when it's just like, he takes a package from here to there? Like, that's his job.
Yeah.
He's like, Jet, you're gonna do it. It's like,
that's what he's gonna do.
You're a delivery plane. Like, good job. So I would recommend listening to the intro. It's awesome. And by awesome, I mean hilarious. There's that. And then, I think we can get into the education. I think we can get into the education washing. Yeah. I think there was something else I wanted to talk about, but it's okay.
Yeah.
So when Jet is told that he has a delivery.
Mm-hmm. All over the world.
There's usually a cold open where he is playing with the other planes, because what do they do when they're not delivering packages? Nothing. Just billions of dollars of technology sitting around playing handball or whatever. Okay. And he goes up to Jimbo and he's like, where am I going, Jimbo? And Jimbo says, hey, Jet, you're going to South Africa or
China, Mongolia.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's the education washing where he's like, before you leave, you should know that this is how they say one word.
Yeah.
Sometimes two.
Yeah. He'll do, sometimes do a fact.
Yeah.
You know, like Mongolia is landlocked or something. And then.
Yeah. Or they have nomadic people, or Germany is famous for its sausages and nothing else. I have no problem with Germany currently. I promise. It's just kind of funny. Like Vietnam. He's like, Vietnam has these beautiful rice paddies. And it's like, absolutely true.
Yep.
There are other historical facts we could know about Vietnam. Just like off the top of my head, there's a couple things.
There's a couple things that I can think of that might have happened there.
Yeah. And I pointed out that like the Vietnam episode, they were like, we don't want to do anything too touchy, so we're just going to have Jet go deliver some stuff to girls who are into a pop star.
Yep.
And that could really happen anywhere. Pop stars are everywhere, you know. So he goes and he's like, and this is how you say one word, maybe two in this language. Except for like when he goes to Hollywood, and then he's telling him about like, did you know that they say action on movie sets? And so like, this is the language of Hollywood. And that's not educational, especially since it also, he like flies out and he says, hola. But he doesn't know how to say, like, hola, soy Jet, estoy en España, yo sé cómo hablar español, right? He just says, hola, I'm Jet, here's your package. And then the person from Spain will go, hi, Jet, thanks. They won't say, hola, gracias. They'll say, hey, I speak English fluently. This is my main language.
So it was really important that you learn that one word.
Exactly.
Because we're now going to just speak English.
They speak straight up English, or I assume in other countries.
They speak, you know. Yeah, it's apparently from three different places. Right. I'm sure they have.
So Mandarin or Korean or whatever it may be. But basically this happens everywhere. He goes to France, English. He goes to Mongolia, English. He goes to China, English. Right? And so it's like, like, thanks for teaching us this one word. It's less than Dora the Explorer. Like, Dora the Explorer will attempt to teach multiple words per episode so that kids can learn Spanish.
Yep.
Jet learns a single word that is sometimes not even a word. Like, he learns oh-la-la, not ooh-la-la, but oh-la-la, which is like an expression of surprise in France.
I guess. That's what he learns.
My best friend, who shall remain nameless, has told me that oh la la and ooh la la are different. And so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they didn't teach him ooh la la, which is what Lumiere says when he sees the sexy broom. So, like, you know, in Beauty and the Beast. And so, like, it's completely useless. And all the educational stuff really happens at, like, up front with Jimbo.
Yeah.
He has.
In just very tight period of time, just like, here's a couple of things mm-hmm. that might be considered educational.
Now go. He smacks him on the butt.
No more education.
You know, just get on your way, Jet. And then Jet says, it's time to fly, which is the same thing as me getting into a car and saying, it's time to drive. Like, yeah, that's how you get around, Jet. Well done. And then he'll grow arms and legs, making himself huge and cumbersome, and follow a kid around. And then we learn that this show is more interested in stereotypes.
Oh, yeah.
And cryptozoology than in, like, teaching us about the culture. Like, you know, it's what I say about, like, when we learn about, like, Mexico through movies made by, like, Americans or non-Mexicans. Mm-hmm. It's like we basically inevitably learn about the Day of the Dead, El Día de los Muertos.
Yeah.
And I want people to say, like, hey, there is more to this culture than this one day in the year, right? And so we see, but it's not even that. We see, like, stereotypes.
Yeah, so it's origami paper for Japan. It's running shoes for Kenya.
Oh, yeah.
It's
I was going to bring up, so this is our favorite, I think, as far as stereotypes go. He goes to Scotland.
He
meets a kid who lives on Loch Ness, which we have decided is probably not likely. I have a feeling that, like, nobody lives near Loch Ness, or
lots of people live.
Yeah, but, like, he's the only one.
Yeah,
he's
like, it's like his lake.
He walks down his driveway and goes to and Loch Ness is there, and he goes on a dock. He is interested in finding the Loch Ness monster, which of course does exist in this reality.
Oh, yes.
And he has been delivered a set of bagpipes. So that's Scotland, guys.
Yep. Well, I mean, all in one neat bow.
And I think the only thing is he's not wearing a kilt at the time, right? I haven't seen it in a while, but I'm hoping that he
might just have pants.
He might just be wearing pants. So he's got this little, and I highly suspect that, so they have to walk this tight line as well, where certain accents are okay for the actors to imitate, and other accents, they have to be very careful not to. So, for instance, a Scottish accent they will do, but fortunately they do not do any stereotypical accents for China, for instance, or Japan. They just talk, right? We don't have any, what was that movie? Mickey Rooney? Or who did the horrible
I think of Mickey Rooney.
We just don't have any horrible stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, like, in Kenya, they'll do a Kenyan accent. I was going to say African, as if that's one country and not a million countries.
We don't actually know if they did a Kenyan accent.
True. See, I'm not... Okay,
yeah,
so,
I'm not accent aware enough to know if they actually nailed Kenya
exactly.
or not.
So I will say this right now. I'm aware that Africa is a number of countries with a number of languages, a number of accents, and I am certainly not qualified to say if they did a good one. I'm just saying that they do attempt it because there's less stigma attached to doing accents for certain parts of the world, and so they have to walk a very tight line. What I also want to talk about is it's not educational, it's mostly stereotypes, and, like, I think in the course of the show, in season one, the Loch Ness monster exists, a Yeti exists, right?
I think so,
and I think there's even one other, but so for the most part, with the exception of episode two when he goes to China, nobody is surprised to see Jet. Nobody's like, wow, there's an airplane walking around and talking just, like, in our country of Denmark, in our country of Germany, whatever. Yeah.
With the mind of a child.
Yeah, with the mind of a child.
Just unsupervised, walking around, doing whatever.
Right, like when he goes to Switzerland to make, guess what, Swiss cheese, right? I mean, they just call it cheese there. But, like, he goes to Switzerland, and they're going to, the parents show up, like, and they just look, and they're like, oh, hey. You know, like, they don't go, like, who's your friend,
child? Is he in our house?
Why is he in our house? He was just coming to deliver a package, and now he seems to live here. And also, he's covered our entire house in almost cheese. Like, he was, that was the episode where he tries to milk a cow and, like, pinches the cow too hard. And, like, freaks out the cow. Then, like, he, like, is stirring too hard, and so he gets cheese mixture all over. So they're just like, hey, you're there. But in episode two, the child's dad does go, like, whoa. Like, I really appreciate that. Like, he sees Jet, and he's like, who are you? I mean, again, though, he doesn't say, what are you? Like, I swear, he says, who are you? So the possibility of a sentient robot does, like, enter his mind. Yeah. But he doesn't say, like, oh, this is normal. Like, I'm used to seeing these walking around every day. He goes like, oh, who are you? Yeah. Like, he's surprised by it.
Yeah.
And we've hit 30 minutes now, and we've talked about the premise. I'm just going to very quickly read through my notes. Does Jimbo live there, I want to say?
He must.
So we were talking about him being a Bond villain. We talked about, like, how Jet was going to walk through the wrong door one day and see Jimbo just, like, dipping a secret agent into some sharks or something like that. But yeah, so I mean, I think Jimbo just lives there because there's no way to commute to work in the middle of the ocean. So he's just got to live there. Maybe he built them all. Maybe he's a super genius and rich to boot, but he didn't sell his ideas even though he could have.
He just wanted to deliver meaningless packages to children.
He's super into delivery. Just like Troll Barbie is into trolls. Jimbo's into deliveries.
Okay.
And yeah, so like, let's just wrap up and say, Jet could just be like, here's your package and leave. And there would be no show. I understand that. But okay, here's what I want to end with. They could have changed the premise to where there are super wings, a bunch of airplanes that transform and help kids out in dangerous situations. And they get called in by Jimbo, their leader. Why add the package delivery element?
That's not part of it.
They could, and then that way it would be Jet making things worse. It'd be Jet flying in to rescue as a super wing would do, right? Yeah. Super implies hero. Okay, that was the last thing from my note. The premise of the show makes no sense and could easily have been altered to make sense. And it's so frustrating. Okay. Thank you so much to everyone for joining us another week and for helping us to stay sane for that week.
Yeah.
We will see you next Saturday with a continuation of a more specific and in-depth look at Super Wings, as well as a hint at what season 2 looks like. Thank you to my husband for composing intro and outro music for this show. Thank you to our friend Martin for having a great podcast. You should check out The Haven. And thank you to the autism community for being so welcoming. If you'd like to check us out on Facebook, you can search Not Again with Alan and Rebecca. If you'd like to tweet at us for any reason, we'd love to hear from you. We're at Not Again Pod. We are on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, if you need to know that. And we'd love to have some great reviews, subscriptions. Tell people about this show.
Word of mouth is the best advertising.
Absolutely. And with that, I would like to sign off and say we will see you next time. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Alan.
And that's it. Bye.
Bye.